In an article in The Atlantic this week, Sherman Alexie reveals a favorite line of poetry, the one that set him on the path to writing.
Adrian Lewis, a Paiute poet, wrote a poem called Elegy for the Forgotten Oldsmobile. And the first line of the poem is, "Oh, Uncle Adrian, I'm in the reservation of my mind," which completely captures the notion of a colonized mind and the barriers and boundaries put out by outside forces that you completely accept. And that extends beyond natives. So one of the things I say is we all get trapped.
Alexie's lectures, like the one earlier this week at UW, are part of an effort to free us from prejudice and preconception.
When you think your experience, when the circle you live in is the circle everybody lives in. You know, if you Venn diagrammed it, there'd be this big circle in the middle called whiteness, which you can also call Americanness. White people live mostly in that circle. And it's when people start assuming everybody shares that circle. When, I mean, I certainly share a lot of it, but my circle would probably be, 70 or 80% Americanness, whiteness. And then the rest of it would be my indigenous identity. And sort of certainly my far left politics put me outside that typical Americanism.
That Venn diagram, I suppose you could also do a male-female Venn diagram.
Oh, too. Certainly. Women are not totally in that circle of Americanness at all. Not even white women are in there. There's this whole other circle off to the side. You could really call that circle white guys and those of us who, in order to survive, have to believe and think like white guys. That's the name of that circle in the middle.
Sherman Alexie has lived in Seattle for many years now, but he grew up on the Spokane Indian Reservation. At his lecture, Alexie drew parallels between reservations and the concentration camps of World War II. He calls reservations an act of war.
The U.S. government and the U.S. military herded, and I use herded pointedly, Native Americans onto their reservations. It was rural concentration camps. We were supposed to go there and die. By and large, almost exclusively, they put us in regions without enough natural resources for us to survive. They gave us very limited supplies. In the early days of the reservations, people were dying of starvation, malnutrition, exposure. So they created these stationary jail cells. And only through this amazing perseverance and luck did we survive.
But Alexie says the problem is some Native Americans have come to embrace the reservation as part of their cultural identity.
In the early part of my career, I heard from a lot of other Indians, and I felt it myself that what I was doing wasn't very Indian.
Being a writer.
Yeah, and, being a writer. Yeah. And then I was on
living
stage.
Living in a city.
I was living on stage. Where's the Freudian slip? And I was on stage performing, and I thought, wait a second. I travel the world telling stories. How traditional is that? That's the oldest activity known to human beings. I'm the traditional one. Why did I ever let Indians who manage casinos make me feel less Indian than them? So when you start talking about Native American culture in its present sense, number one, it's urban. Approximately 70% of Native Americans live off the reservation. So the notion that the reservation is even our primary identity is completely wrong and has been untrue since at least the early 1950s. And we don't see it for what it is. Every single non-Indian in this country has the same exact idea about what Indian is.
Where does that come from?
1950s Westerns.
So how do we get past that?
Well, I'm trying. I think I've helped a bit. And there are other Native artists trying. But it really goes up to Native artists. Number one, the big thing is we Native artists, writers, filmmakers, painters, sculptors, have to stop being so res-centric. You know, you would never guess that 70% of Natives live off the reservation, judging by our art. And this often by Natives who've never lived on the res. So, number one, to combat this image of who we are or aren't, Native artists have to start representing us as we are.
But you're saying that there's the white image, which is, you know, anchored in the 50s, which is anchored in the some sort of mythical combination of pre-Columbian and 19th century America. Now, that's part of the problem, but that Indians themselves are perpetuating the image.
Yes. Indian artists have been remaking Last of the Mohicans for 100 and some odd years now.
You singled out a couple in the audience, somewhere in the front rows. And I somehow doubt these are their real names. You called them
Grizzly Adams and Sacagawea?
Yes, Grizzly Adams and Sacagawea. a white man and an Indian woman. And you said the healing process begins with them.
Yes. I mean, where else would the healing process more wonderfully begin than in bed? But it really is, if you can trust, if you can hand your life over to somebody in a trusting, loving partner way, I mean, so much historical forgiveness happens. Well, the goal is really, I mean, is for us to intermarry so much that we all look exactly alike. And then we have to think of really complicated reasons to hate each other.
And so until that happens, what are, you know, I'm already married to a white woman. So
you're doomed. You're doomed.
You know, what can I do to be part of the healing process?
Lots of affairs and illegitimate brown children.
I hope my wife doesn't listen to this interview.
But, I mean, the sex, the romantic relationship is just a metaphor for the kind of close friendships I'm talking about. The nature of reaching across barriers and boundaries with your most intimate decisions. Not just marriage. Friendship. I mean, it comes down to, you know, tomorrow when I have lunch in the student dining hall, I'm going to do my best to sit next to somebody who doesn't look exactly like me. And one of the ideas that really kind of peeves me, not so much, mostly I'm sort of amused by it, is the notion of, well, you have to tolerate acceptance. No. That's easy. It's about more than that. I mean, I'm aiming for celebration. You know, I give non-Indians a whole lot of crap. I give white guys in particular a whole lot of crap. But holy smokes. White dudes took us from covered wagons to space shuttles in less than a century. I mean, that's amazing. It was white dudes who created this amazing Constitution and Declaration of Independence that had to be amended over the years by non-white dudes. But in its original ideas, the world had never seen anything like it. So, I mean, I have deep, abiding affection, love, and respect for Western civilization and European culture. It just isn't often returned.